This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at fullycookedbacon.com. That's fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
The U.S. and Russia both consider ISIS, and this intelligence reportedly was about ISIS, we both consider ISIS an enemy. So what is the harm, potential harm, in giving up information about ISIS?
Yeah, well, and in fact, the United States and Russia do share intelligence on a very limited basis on counterterrorism and other things. If the United States learned about a plot that was going to hurt Russian civilians, I'm sure that the United States would pass that information along. How it got it would be protected. So in this case, I think that the concern is that Russia and the United States, as much as they regard the ISIS as a common enemy, they have really conflicting agendas beyond that. In Syria, Russia is backing the Assad regime, which the United States desperately wants to displace. Russia has put a lot of military assets in Syria. A capability like this that helps the United States understand what's happening inside ISIS could also help, you know, conceivably provide intelligence on where Russian military assets are or what Russian planning might be. And Russia would have a keen interest in figuring out that capability.
We are about to hear from H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor.
Of course, this was Greg Miller talking yesterday. He is the Pulitzer Prize award-winning writer who broke this story and was able to ascertain the leak that came out of the meeting with President Trump and the Russians. And he's got the byline on it and was talking with Fox News about it. And, of course, you know, the further discussion about the interests of the United States and Russia, how it how they complement one another or don't. And so that's, you know, that's basically what he was reinforcing here. You know, as we've been saying, you know, hopefully we can get some reason. That's why I appreciate Ken Starr and his voice in this whole conversation and bringing some understanding as to what, you know, what is going on. I mean, he did say that as far as, you know, Comey was concerned, that he respected Comey, but that he was out of his lane. He was off base in some of the things that he did. That, you know, Donald Trump had every right to let him go. He referred to it as a meritorious firing, which, you know, what he did merited the firing. But, of course, the Democrats, the mainstream media, taking grave exception. They were against him before they were for him. You know how that goes. That's just the nature of politics and the nature of what's happening in D.C. And, again, I remind you that for the Democrats, this is like chess. This is an advantage. They found a way to take one of Trump's knights off the table, and they're going after for checkmate. And all, you know, yelling and screaming about impeachment. And, of course, they don't realize what they're doing and what they're putting out into the culture. This is going to, Scott, I'm telling you, mark my words, this is going to fire up, you know, a lot of insanity and lawlessness that could be busting loose as a result of all this, because the perception that's being put out there by, you know, by the media, it's pretty dangerous.
Well, I've always told you the rubber band. I mean, it snaps back eventually. Otherwise, it breaks. Either way, we're not happy.
a sad note here to report, a friend of the show, and a friend, a dear friend of my son's as well, David Gerringer, who was a vet, lost his fight at 72 years old, his fight to cancer, prostate cancer, which, of course, I am a survivor, and I recommend that all men, you know, should be checked on and to do everything they can to obliterate this disease once and for all. But Dave was such a great man, a family man, took his family on a trip around the USA to every continental state. For a year and 3 months, him and his wife, Breck, own Virginia City Kettle Corn Depot. And Dave Gerringer, we're with his family. We're praying for his family and his wife, Beck. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Nobody said this job would be easy, right? Telling you. Oh, man, the cats are all over the place, and it is like herding cats right now. I understand that. Welcome back. I'm Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Cooler talk time. We're moving her up a little bit early. We got a little bit of programming change. Normally she comes at the end of the hour, but hey, we need her on here right now. Miss Dynamite and Address, we're talking about Andrea Kay herself, host radio and TV of the Andrea Kay Show, of course. AK, how we doing?
Well, I'm good, baby, and I'm always here for you. It's at crack of dawn. I am not known for being a morning person, but I'm here for you anytime because it's always fun to be on your show.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Boy, all this insanity, the mainstream media is unhinging, and, of course, you know, the liberal media has gotten a real shot in the arm, and I noticed this as well. Fox News has dropped to number 3 in key demos at night. I mean, I was looking at these numbers, and I'm going, boy, is somebody putting a thumb on a scale, or what is going on? But these program changes seem to be taking a hit, number 1. Number 2 is all this excitement is really gotten the attention of the left and liberals, and they're tuning in to their liberal networks, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I don't know how much of it, the drop in for Fox News has to do with a shot in the arm for anything that's going on with Trump politically, or if it's really a shot across the bow at Fox News for the shift that they've taken to the left and what that means for their diehard loyal viewers over the years. And, you know, a report came out yesterday showing that that they're really losing in a key demo of 25 to 50. So it would be natural to say, well, that's the millennials, you know, how they're older over on Fox News. Bill O'Reilly owned that demo and owned that time spot for 20 years. And there were many Republicans who felt that it was a shakedown and a takedown of O'Reilly, that even though he had made some missteps in the past, that the latest round was the left going after everything conservative, not just Donald Trump, but conservative media, because if you can control the message, you can control minds. And
no
sure
question.
Enough, and so the Republicans have, and I hear from Republicans all day, every day on my social media, how these new shows, the new lineup, it's, you know, it's the equivalent to the lemon dance in the school district of moving the same people around musical chairs, and they hate the program.
Yeah, it's not working, and maybe Kimberly Guilfoyle, maybe that's one of the reasons, and she knows that she's smart enough to figure it out, and says, well, maybe I'll really jump into, you know, the deep end of the pool and take over Sean Spicer's job. I understand she's being seriously considered as a replacement for Sean Spicer.
Well, I think she would be an amazing replacement because, I mean, this is a woman that has been able to sit there with the likes of Bob Beckel and Juan Williams for years, keep her cool, keep her composure. I mean, basically what she does and what her role is every day on that show is to be a Sean Spicer, to bring sanity amongst the crazy that's going on and keep it cool and, you know, give her message, which isn't always ultra conservative. But I think she's got the poise and clearly the brains to do it. I mean, I think that Trump needs to do some shakeups across the board in a lot of positions. And I also think he needs to be prepared to have some empty desks because continued leaks of what's going on over there. There's too many holdovers. And better to have empty desks, empty chairs.
They're so crazed over there trying to figure out what's going on. And I say over there, not just the White House, outside of the White House, the media, you know, claiming that Reince Priebus is leaking stuff, and you know, I mean, it has just gone over the top with the kind of reporting that has taken place, all based on these leaks, innuendo, fake news, all this stuff to gain attention. And you know, this is the year of fake news, no doubt about it.
Well, it is fake news, and it's funny because it's, you know, how many for years have we heard from the fake news people calling Fox faux news? So, you know, it's always with the left, it's always a case of projection. You know, I don't remember who it was that said it, but you are what you accuse others of being. And one of the things that they tried to do immediately after the election, of course, you know, trying to blame Trump and, you know, so-called collusion with Russia and all that crap. Then they blamed Comey, but they also tried to blame what they said was fake news. And that's just all in an effort, again, to take more and more control, you know, over the media and over our minds. And, you know, I'm just really disappointed in the Republican Party establishment that, you know, really has, you know, sat back. And
Set back. They've taken three giant steps back, Andrea. I mean, they're not even coming alongside. And it's like they're letting their standard bearer take all the bullets. And what's going to happen here in, what, less than 18 months? You know, for some of these House seats and Senate seats that are up that they say shouldn't be a problem, suddenly they're going to be a problem because, you know, go figure. Here you have the Democratic Party, which is still in a mess. I mean, they still don't have proper leadership. They're flailing, but they're flailing rather meanly. And right now, I would say, thanks to the mainstream media and a little bit of Donald Trump as well, because I think in some cases he's his own worst enemy with some of this stuff, some of the communication stuff. That's why I feel in part for Sean Spicer. I can tell you, except for a couple of things, I'm impressed with Sean Spicer. I mean, for him to have to be as adroit as he is, have the depth of knowledge to do the kind of job that he's doing. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you're not talking about being, you know, supporting like President Obama or a George Bush. You're talking about, you know, Donald Trump, who is nonstop. And, and he's all over the spectrum. And you're trying to formulate a narrative or response. And then next thing you know, he comes out with a tweet that contradicts what the two of you just sat down and talked about. I think it's a very difficult position, whether it's Kimberly Guilfoyle, and I agree. I think she's brilliant and she could handle it, but I think it's one of those deals, you know, and you've heard me say this before, Andrea, in any kind of position, you have to have a fair chance to win. There has to be this, this opportunity for competence. And if you are because of the situation and the people you have to work with, put you into that realm of incompetence, boy, I'll tell you, you want to watch the frustration scales go off the Richter scale. I mean, I'm telling you, Sean Spicer probably wishes that he could get a gig on Saturday Night Live and play Melissa McCartney.
Well, yeah, you know what? I hear you. And however, who Trump is and his tweeting and his style of communication is partly why he won. And so, you know, to me, what he needs to do is make sure he's got a team around him that can communicate properly with what's going on and push back properly, regardless of how Trump is. And I think that, so, do I think Sean Spicer's in a difficult position? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that nobody can do a better job, or that nobody can, that the communications department couldn't be doing a better job. And I think Kimberly Guilfoyle, being an attorney and a prosecutor, has a unique ability that would assist in that situation. And I also think Trump, though, may be right himself when he says that you talk about being set up for a win. Well, everything about the situation is set up for a fall. It's like Vladimir
Putin
came out this morning and said that it's almost like schizophrenia going on in this country politically.
Oh, and he's just thinking, hey, I just stuck my finger in there and just teased him a little bit, and look what happened. They just can't even handle it, and they've gone sideways. The other takeaway for me, Andrew, as we wrap things up here, because we've only got about 10 seconds left, is that for Donald Trump, I just say, be president. You know, you don't need to go tit for tat. You've got the seat of authority. Sit in that seat and just let it sit there, and make sure even your tweets reflect that as well. Andrea Kay, thank you, Andrea.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321-321. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321-321. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME66 to 321-321.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with you. Radio America. Bill Martinez here. Always good to have you along with us. Thank you. And for more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Well, according to the Spring 2017 Bank of America Business Advantage Small Business Owner Report, it is a semi-annual study exploring the concerns, aspirations, and perspectives of 1,000 small business owners across the country. Small business owners' confidence in the economy has surged in the last 6 months, although entrepreneurs are still cautious about turning plans into action. And here to tell us more about it, back with us, I mean, this is getting to be a regular thing, and I'm kind of liking this, Sharon Miller. Sharon Miller is the head of small business of Bank of America. Welcome back.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, let's talk about what is going on. I mean, boy, entrepreneurs seem to be pretty bullish on the trajectory of our potential economy, the way things are starting to look on the horizon, and excited about some of the deregulations that have been taking place. So things are looking up for small businesses these days, isn't it?
They are, and in fact, you know, we survey our clients every 6 months, and this survey cycle, we saw a 21% jump in the confidence in the economy from small business owners over just, you know, 6 months ago. So we definitely saw an increase in optimism, an uptick in what's happening within the environment, and I think the last time you and I talked, Bill, was 6 months ago. We had just released the fall survey, and back then, we were still waiting to see what would happen with the election. So anytime we have an election cycle, there is uncertainty in the results. Once that's done, we're able to move forward.
Well, Sharon, I like the fact that Bank of America has made this kind of commitment to keep this information for small business owners, you know, and for the rest of the country to understand what's going on. And the fact that you're doing this twice a year really reinforces B of A's commitment to small business, right?
We are committed. I mean, every large business started out as a small business, and so we want to make sure that we are here serving our local communities and the small business owners. And in fact, you know, we have 29 million small businesses across the United States, so it is a big area of our country. It is the backbone of our U.S. economy, and very, very important to what we do and how we deliver in our local communities, and we're there for them. So we talked about the optimism that we saw in the survey. However, when you dig into the data points, we also saw there was a little bit of a wait-and-see attitude around expansion of hiring, of revenue growth expectations, although at Bank of America, we saw our strongest first quarter we've ever seen since the financial crisis in our lending area for small business. So our loan demand is strong. People are coming to us for that advice and guidance and how to either expand, acquire, transition, whatever it is that they're wanting to do for their business, and we want to be their partner.
Well, that's great. You know, what gets me excited about this, Sharon, is that you know, at the very heart of this is people being productive. I think this is what makes us happy. America wants to work again. And, you know, and this is what is going on in this, you know, current environment. There's lots of hope that more jobs are coming. And you're talking with the dreamers and the job creators, which has to be a lot of, a lot of fun for Bank of America.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, to me, this is such an exciting, you know, area of our business, area of our company, because this is the backbone of our U.S. economy. Small business owners are the heart and soul of every community, and, you know, they're able to impact so many lives, so many people, employ people, capture downstream revenue. I mean, when you go into a restaurant or to a retailer, I mean, the other thing is you may have a retailer in a local community that now has access to be able to put their presence online and have a national footprint, whereas before you didn't have that availability before we had online and digital. So there are so many, not only the dream and the vision, but you can make it local and you can expand it virtually because of the technology available today that wasn't available 5-10 years ago.
Exactly.
And it can make the small players look big pretty quick. And it seems that they're doing this as they get more and more adept with this technology that is very evident in business today. Sharon, how did you find the small business owners felt about their revenue growth and hiring for the coming year?
You know, the revenue and the hiring was about flat from 6 months ago. So there wasn't a huge increase in people telling us that they were going to hire more, although, you know, stay about flat. I will tell you, though, that when it comes to what were their concerns, the number one concern of our small business owners was all around healthcare and healthcare costs. So that was the same 6 months ago, and it's the same today. The other piece that is a big concern is around taxes. So, you know, we hear it in the news, we hear it across, you know, the country that tax reform, that healthcare reform, it's on the table, but we still don't know what the outcome's going to be. So there are, you know, there's still uncertainty out there, and so, you know, small business owners, I mean, it's on the mind of small business owners, big business, it's on the mind of all Americans.
Now, the small business owners feeling responsible or feeling some sense of responsibility to provide health care for their employees?
You know, I think so. I mean, you know, when we asked about health care, and we always do in every one of our survey, the biggest concern is around cost. And so 64% are concerned about the impact of health care costs on their business. And so to be relevant and to compete for talent, which is exactly what, you know, businesses do every single day. I mean, people are our biggest asset. And so, you know, in many cases, people want benefits. And so that is a concern for small business owners, and it is something that attracts talent in many cases, and it's something that is on the minds of many people across the country.
Mm-hmm. For these small business owners, you know, we touched on a couple of the stressors that they're experiencing, but what primarily is keeping them awake at night?
Well, I think, you know, one is, you know, how's my business going to, you know, is it going to keep going? I certainly don't want my business to fail. I mean, anything that you put your heart, your soul, all of your energy into, which is what small business owners do day in, day out, it is just so inspiring to work with small business owners across the country and hear their stories of how they started, how they've grown, what their passion is, and how they come to work every day. But I think that as they think about the future, it's around, you know, how do I become more virtual and not so much a physical location, but, you know, sort of back to the conversation we had, Bill, around, you know, being able to have large scale when you have a local shop because now you have online capabilities. The other thing is, how do I, with my operations of my company, automate it? Because the more you can automate, the more cost potentially you can take out. And then paperless. How do I make sure that I'm taking paper? I mean, that's not just environmentally sound, but it's also, you know, it's a cost. Every time you, you know, print something, you put it on paper, you send it in the mail. How can we be more efficient in a paperless society? I mean, we think about that every day at the bank. How can we, you know, when you print a statement versus email, there's a, you know, it's good for the environment, it's good for our clients, and people really don't want paper so much anymore. So how do we help adapt what's good for business, good for clients, and good for the environment?
Exactly. Well, Sharon Miller, where can people go for more information?
You can go to bankofamerica.com/smallbusiness. The report is there, and then also just other great information for small business owners that are either just starting out or have very, very established businesses.
What great resources here. Sharon Miller, head of small business at Bank of America. Sharon, always good to have you with us. Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing and keeping us up to date with your new survey.
Thanks so much, Bill, for having me.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that could make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Your opinion really does matter. Bill Martinez live. Without a doubt. Online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends.
Bill Martinez Live.
Yeah.
minutes after the top of the hour, and we've got the authors and the book that we've been talking about for quite a while here. It has come on the scene, and it has been quite revealing, to say the least. Shattered. Inside Hillary Clinton's Doom Campaign. Jonathan Allen, Amy Parnes are with us. Let me give you a little background on Jonathan. Award-winning political journalist, New York Times best-selling author, the head of community and content at Sidewire, columnist for Roll Call, and an adjunct professor at Northwestern University. Amy covers the White House and the 2016 presidential campaign for Bloomberg News, an award-winning reporter herself. She's also, Amy Parnes is the White House correspondent for the Hill newspaper in Washington, where she covers the Obama administration, a 10-year veteran of political journalism. She traveled with the Clinton, Obama, and McCain campaigns while covering the 2008 presidential race for Politico. Amy and Jonathan, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thanks for having us on.
Well, good to have you here, Amy. This is the second book on Hillary Clinton that you and Jonathan worked together. Did this make it easier for you to get behind the scenes and enjoy some cooperation that many journalists could have only hoped to get?
I think it might have, because we spent so long talking about Clinton World and interviewing people in this vast world of theirs. And so I think in some ways it did make it easier. We definitely found new sources, and we talked to other sources. So I think everything, every little bit helps with a world like Clinton World.
Exactly. Well, Jonathan, how did you approach this? Did you and Amy decide, okay, you're going to cover certain aspects of the campaign and then bring it together, or was it a cohesive project between the two of you?
Our whole approach to this is that we both bring complementary skills to each of the pieces of it, so reporting and writing and going through the editing process. So we do pretty much everything together. There are some interviews where one of us is tied up and the other one does the interview, but we mostly did the interviews together. We write together, and we go through that editing process together. It's a very, very collaborative and cohesive working relationship.
Exactly. Well, Amy, what did you want history to learn and understand about the Clinton campaign?
Well, there's a lot to learn from this, and I think that's why Democrats can pour over it and learn as much as they can right now. But I think basically there are some takeaways from this, including the fact that you can't just have someone be the inevitable candidate just because it feels like their time and because they're the most qualified. I think with Secretary Clinton, for instance, there was the lack of a message, and she never really explained to people why she was running for president. And I think that was problematic for her. And I think why a lot of people who once voted for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012 actually sided this time around and voted for Donald Trump, because they felt like he had a clearer message and was speaking more to them. And also, so he was an outside candidate, and it seemed like this was the year of the outsider, and people really wanted someone with someone who had fresh blood and fresh ideas, and I think that's why he was successful.
Jonathan, you and Amy had said that in some sense you couldn't help but feel sorry for Hillary, and for, you know, I think anybody that has dreams and ambitions, and you lose the big game, it's a bit of a heartbreak, isn't it?
It certainly was for her, certainly was for the people around her, and for a lot of people who voted for her. You know, I think in terms of us talking about sympathy, I mean, that's what we're writing about, is sort of that by the end of this book, I think a lot of readers, whether or not they like her, whether or not they voted for her, will feel some measure of sympathy. That's more of a statement on how we think this story goes. We went, than our own, personal feelings. We went sort of behind the scenes from beginning to end of the campaign, and you can't help but sort of live through the ups and downs. In fact, I was talking to a veteran Republican operative the other day, who said to me that he was reading the book and enjoying it, and found himself rooting for Hillary Clinton at times.
Wow. Yeah.
Even though, you know, he had, you know, he's a longtime Republican and didn't want her to win the election. So, you know, I think it's a book where her humanity bleeds through in ways that I think it didn't always on the campaign trail.
Exactly. Well, Amy, did you find one of the things I discovered as I was reading through the book, it was like the very thing that she wanted to avoid was the very thing that she did. And it was almost like this campaign was a pickup from 2008.
Yeah.
Did you find that to be the case?
Yeah. I mean, in some ways she overlearned. And I think we saw that with, you know, a lot of people are really surprised by the fact that there was infighting in the campaign because, in 2008, it was splashed all over, TV and in the newspapers. It made headlines. This time around, it wasn't, it didn't seem to be there. But as John and I report in the book, there was a lot of this tension, a lot of infighting, particularly among the top brass of the campaign. And I think in 2008, they kind of, in 2016 rather, they kind of swept things under the rug because they didn't want it to seem like a 2008 campaign. They wanted it to seem like a happier, more seamless campaign. And that wasn't always the case. But I think, yeah, I do think that she, in some ways, kind of, replicated the 08 campaign, not on purpose, obviously, but I think she did, as I said before, become the inevitable candidate, and that definitely hurt her.
Exactly. Well, John, it seems like what Amy is suggesting and what also came out in the book was that there was this, you know, kind of an impression of denial. She didn't get the idea. I mean, she kind of got the idea that she didn't have a message, but she was just so convinced that because of who she was competing against, Donald Trump, that, you know, there was no way that she could lose. And I think that everybody else was in denial. And I think that's why they remain in such shock today. Is that fair?
I think it is fair. You know, what we reported and what we, you know, learned from our sources in putting this book together was that the strategy against Donald Trump, and you could see this play out during the campaign, but the strategy in the general election, particularly down the stretch, was to disqualify them in the minds of voters. And the thing is, at some level, they were successful in that. About a fifth of his voters said that they didn't think he was fit to be president. What Hillary Clinton failed to do was convince enough voters in the right places that she was the right person to be president.
This message is provided by Boehringer Ingelheim. More than 2.7 million Americans have atrial fibrillation, or AFib, a common type of irregular heartbeat, with symptoms often described as butterflies in the chest. People with AFib have a 5 times higher risk of stroke than those without the condition. Dr. David Rose, a neurologist at the University of South Florida, is encouraging people with AFib to talk to their doctor.
Anticoagulants, or blood thinners, can help reduce the risk of stroke for people with AFib. That's why it's important to speak with a doctor who can help determine which blood thinner works best for you. Because blood thinners are associated with an increased risk of bleeding, your doctor can help you understand the risks and benefits of treatment. It's also important to ask your doctor about the availability of treatments that can reverse the blood thinning effect in the rare event of an emergency.
If you have atrial fibrillation, talk to your doctor today about your risk for stroke.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
This is Dan Billett. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you?
I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. When you see too far gone, I see one step away from home. You see nothing but damage done, I see something good in the making. I'm not finished yet.
There's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Our conversation with Jonathan Allen continues. Jonathan covered the White House in the 2016 presidential campaign for Bloomberg News. Amy Parnes, the White House correspondent for The Hill newspaper in Washington, covers the Obama administration. She's a 10-year veteran of political journalism. You know, I got to tell you, Jonathan, Amy, as I've been bragging about you and about this book, and I hope it's okay, is that you have brought, you know, a sense of journalism back to the discussion. I think in this era of fake news that we've been living with and having to endure, it's I think it's exemplary to have a book like this that, you know, truly measures up to everything that I respect about journalism.
Thank you. I think one of the things that John and I did pretty early on was we trusted our instincts as reporters, talked to as many people as we could. And the funny part of this book was that while people were expecting Hillary Clinton to win, and I think we both did going into Election Day, our reporting was telling us something completely different. And so we actually turned the parts of the book into our editor a week before the election, and he was wondering how we were going to square the fact that the campaign was so problematic if Secretary Clinton did in fact win. And it turns out that, you know, all we had to do was basically let our reporting speak for itself, and I think that's what we did.
It definitely makes things a lot easier, doesn't it, John, when your reporting speaks for itself?
Yeah, it seems like a pretty simple rule, and no doubt I've forgotten it at times in my career, but, you know, as Amy said, this time we were pretty dedicated to just making sure we were telling a story. We thought it would be an important story whether she won or lost. And, you know, there were high moments on this campaign for her. She became the first woman ever nominated by a major party for president. She won the primary, which she was not able to do in 2008. And there were, of course, low points, a lot of infighting in the campaign and inability to really articulate why her and why now for president, the whole email server scandal. And then of course, that for her heartbreaking and shattering election night, which we go through in tremendous detail, the first real TikTok behind the scenes of what was going on in her suite at the Peninsula Hotel in Manhattan, and the calls back and forth between her and Obama and between her and Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's it was amazing. And you think about all the things that led up to it. You mentioned the emails. Amy, that was the gift to the GOP that just kept on coming. And then you got James Comey coming into play, Loretta Lynch. You've got her own husband, the former president. I mean, it was like it was crazy the way all this stuff was happening to her, right?
Yeah, I mean, the email controversy was something that completely just bloomed over her campaign even before it started. She was having to answer for it about a month out. And it was something, there was a kind of internal dialogue about what to do about it and whether she should apologize or not. And she and the former president basically thought that, her husband thought that they had done nothing wrong and that there was no need to apologize for it. And meanwhile, you had senior advisors in the campaign basically telling her that she should get out in front of it. And finally, she does in early fall, in September. And you know, and she still can't quite, even though she finally does that, the whole email controversy looms over her campaign for its entirety. And even toward the end, when James Comey comes out again and says that they're continuing to investigate emails, this narrative basically fed into a larger narrative that the Clintons are untrustworthy and that they would bring baggage with them to the White House. And I think a lot of people in the end just felt like Donald Trump was the better candidate.
Well, John, let me ask you, relevant to this, their likability of both candidates was dubious at best. I mean, you have the TMZ video from Trump, and you've got her emails, and it was almost like who was going to be, you know, liked the best between the two of them, which was, you know, kind of slim pickings between the two, right?
Astounding in retrospect. We only knew half of this at the time, but you had two presidential candidates who were under active FBI investigation during the campaign. And certainly they, both of them did things that really turned off large swaths of the American public. You know, often people joke about voting for the lesser of two evils. I can't remember a time, and not to say that Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton are evil, simply to say, you know, to borrow the phrase there. This is the only time in my lifetime where I remember that, you know, that being a feeling espoused by so much of the electorate.
Mm-hmm. Amy, you went into detail with the different players. I mean, from Robbie Mook and John Podesta, you know, Loretta Lynch, Barack Obama, Uma Abedin, Jennifer Palmieri. I mean, all these players, it just seemed like in some regard, it was like a committee creating a camel, you know, a camel by committee or something, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of people said, you know, her speeches were speech by committee. I mean, this committee decided even little things like tweets. It took lots of people from advisors and pollsters to basically weigh in on a single tweet. And that was basically the tone of the whole campaign, that it, you know, it took on this very different kind of campaign. And, you know, even at one point, Jon Favreau is brought in to help with a speech, with her initial speech, her launch speech at Roosevelt Island. And even he gets frustrated because he's not used to speech by committee. He was used to just working with President Obama and maybe one advisor. Mm-hmm. And that was frustrating to him. So I think, yeah, there was a lot of frustration about how this came to be, particularly by people who actually worked with her at the State Department and weren't used to lots of cooks in the kitchen, were used to a more personalized kind of interaction. And so mm-hmm. I think that was frustrating, definitely.
Well, John, no doubt that Comey, as you mentioned, here he is, two investigations. He has an investigation with her. He kind of, you know, comes on TV and, you know, presents the case, and you go, oh, my goodness, she's going to be indicted. And then he comes to the conclusion, no, he's not going to indict her. And everybody kind of takes a breath. And then on the day that they're getting ready to bring Tim Kaine on stage and announce him as the choice for vice president, you know, they've got another James Comey investigation.
Yes, James Comey was the unindicted co-conspirator of Hillary Clinton's loss, I think, or the unindicting co-conspirator.
Yes.
He you know, really seized the spotlight when Loretta Lynch was forced to essentially recuse herself from making a determination about whether or not to prosecute Secretary Clinton, which, of course, followed her ill-advised tarmac meeting with President Bill Clinton. And you know, it's amazing the degree to which this the fate of Hillary Clinton was put into the hands of Jim Comey, first with the email server in the first place. The fact that she ended up having classified emails outside the classified system meant he had no choice but to investigate. He comes to the conclusion he's not going to prosecute, then does this odd thing where he condemns her publicly despite that, and then continues to be a force, you know, right up until a couple of days before the election. I don't think we've ever seen, you know, an outside force have so much, you know, a non-candidate have so much impact on an American presidential election.
Exactly. Amy, your assessment of Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
Well, she became a problem for the campaign, and as John and I detail in the book, there was an inopportune moment where she's basically at the launch speech for Tim Kaine and his kind of his rollout, and that doesn't go so well, and she is the cause of consternation for many of Secretary Clinton's top aides on the campaign. That, you know, the fact that the email hacking is sort of it gets involved, and, you know, she becomes a problem at the actual convention, and so, and on and on, and finally, they're able to sort of save the convention after having a disastrous start, but I think it was a constant problem for the campaign.
John, it seems like there was lots of toxicity throughout this campaign, would you say?
Certainly. I think there were, you know, you basically had a Democratic Party that was riven. You had a Democratic establishment that was fully behind Hillary Clinton, a lot of Democratic voters behind her. And at the same time, you had this sort of populist grassroots swell that included people that generally didn't like her to begin with, and then some folks that Bernie Sanders brought into the process. And that was never really resolved. You know, I think Bernie Sanders' message and Donald Trump's message overlapped, and they overlapped in particular in the area of suggesting that Hillary Clinton was corrupt, and certainly both of them sort of pointing to her as a quintessential insider at a time of rising populism and outsider sentiment. That sort of echo effect of the two of them really pinned her into being the status quo.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jonathan Allen, Amy Parnes, thank you so much. Congratulations on the book, available at all the usual places. It'll be featured on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Shattered Inside Hillary Clinton's Doomed Campaign. Amy, I'm going to let you summarize the final takeaway that you would want the readers to get from this book.
Well, I think it's, as you mentioned earlier, there are so many lessons that people can learn, Democrats and Republicans alike, on how to run a campaign and the best way, the ways of doing things and of not doing things.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. CalBend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
The answer to being